Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today as we continue on in a message, The Righteous Perisheth. And when Jesus came into this world, He came to fulfill the plan of the Father. He declared a new covenant that has been put into effect. And this new covenant is filled with exceeding great and precious promises. And it covers everything the human heart needs, spiritually, physically, materially, and naturally. And when Jesus came, He came to destroy sin and sickness and disease, satanic oppression and depression, and possession from the lives of His people. Whomsoever will could come and drink freely of the waters of life that He was offering. He delivers from poverty and heartache and sorrow and unhappiness. And a day is coming when this is the work that He does within us, but He's going to do a work without as well in terms of our natural world. When He returns, He's going to set up His kingdom for a millennium, for 1,000 years, and war will be done away with. Prejudices, discriminations, envy, hatred. When he will do away with these things, there will be an opportunity for those who are yet unsaved to be able to receive Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Jesus preached a message, beloved, that challenged the religious leaders of His day. Earlier this week, we were reading passages from the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter, where He said, "I've come to," because they took umbrage. They were offended with what He was doing. He was sitting with sinners and publicans. He said, "The sick are those who need a physician, not those who are well." And so He came, and he viewed those publicans and sinners as in need of spiritual healing. In other words, they needed to come to the greatness of the salvation that He was offering. And so He preached a message that really upset the apple cart of the Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and teachers. It challenged everything they stood for, their convictions and beliefs. And beloved, it is still challenging religious leaders and organizations today. Are we going to be understand the truth of God's words in the Bible and understand the purpose and message of which Jesus came to declare? Or are we going to be caught up in the kinds of religious spirit that the religious leaders of His day had? I mean, that spirit is still alive and well, beloved. And so the message that Jesus commanded to be preached throughout the world was called to not only preach salvation, but to preach His kingdom. And that message is greater than any philosophy or teaching ever expounded in the world. It's so much greater than Socrates and Plato and Aristotle or any other philosophers. Why? Because the message He brought, it was truly good news, was a message that was alive and brought life. It translates man, whoever would believe, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. That is what God desires. His heart, the Father's heart, yearned for the people of the world. And so Jesus, they had this discussion long before the world was created, and He was willing to be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And so the message that He brought leaves behind the old carnal, spiritually dead person and gives birth to a new creature when it is applied by repentance and faith. And so when Jesus is unveiled in the heart and mind of individuals, he completely eradicates every ingredient of the old man in terms of that man's spirit. He completely eradicates every ingredient of hatred, malice, evil, disobedience, unrighteousness from that new creature. Now, I am speaking spiritually. Our spirit man is never going to be more saved than it is right now. However, the soul of man, that carnal nature, is that which is the Holy Spirit works upon for our sanctification, and we have to deal with, we have to mortify the deeds of the body. And it's through his word and spirit that we are initially grafted into his body, and then we become the body of Christ. We're his flesh, bone, and very members of the body of Christ in this earth, and he is our head. And we can preach what he has called us to preach, to make disciples of every nation, and we can accomplish that through the empowering of the presence of the Holy Spirit and his power in our lives. So we're not only to be saved, but we're to be totally created new, an individual that has never existed before. We are new creations in the Lord Jesus. And I'd like to share as we come to the conclusion of this broadcast, some things that some time ago I put down as characteristics of a leader. And as we look, obviously, at Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, we see verse 3, he says, "Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, have seen nothing. Ye," and this is the indictment. He says, "You've not gone up into the gaps, they're not watchmen on the wall, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord, when bad times come. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you spoke of vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I'm against you, saith the Lord." And then in verse 22, he says, "Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, who I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." That's why he said through Jeremiah, "I'm going to give pastors after my own heart." And so God is against those who are against the word of God. Those are saying, "Well, you know, that's not true for today. We need to be relevant for today." And beloved, there's a lot of that going on. There are those who have just fallen away from the faith. So what are the characteristics of a good leader? And these are the things I shared. There were 5 points, but actually, beloved, as I looked at it, it applies to every single believer. Because you know what? You are a leader in your own metron, in your own circle of influence, in your community. Every believer in Jesus Christ needs to operate on these principles. So let me move quickly. Number one, there's faithful stewardship in prayer and in the ministry you've received of God, whatever it is. It might be caring for children. It might be, you know, teaching a Bible study. It might be faithful to clean the church, whatever it is. And in times of fasting and in study of the Word of God and in mourning for the needs of the nation in which you're living. That's what Daniel did and Nehemiah. He repented for, not that he was, everyone is not without sin, but he grieved for where the nation had fallen to. And then the second thing is vision. Without a vision, the people perish. And we need to understand that the church is so precious to God. That's why he was vehement. He was just speaking so strongly against the false leadership, as we shared in those scriptures. But in Isaiah 49 and 16, the word of the Lord says, "Behold, I have graven thee," that's his people, "on the palms of mine hand. Thy walls are continually before me." And so we need to be zealous for the Lord's cause. The walls are a type of the body of Christ. And universally, walls are a symbol of strength and protection. And another way of looking at it is our exterior, our walls, are what we present to the world. Also, we, as disciples, as leaders, we need to be established in kingdom principles in relationships by teaching and example. In teamwork, if you remember in the book of Nehemiah, he actually actively was involved in the work of the building of the wall. And remember in Matthew, the 20th chapter, Jesus rebukes his disciples because they were arguing who is going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. And he said, "The greatest of you shall be a servant of all." And also, as we look at Nehemiah, he destroyed the worldly spirit of self-promotion and preservation of the rulers at that time. And he abolished interest payments that they were, this interest they were exacting upon the people. He exhibited generosity. He persevered, and so should we as God's people. And he responded in faith. That was his initial response when he heard how bad the people of Jerusalem, how they were suffering and how they were in disunity and discredit. And then he received wisdom and discernment from God. Beloved, that's what every one of us are called to do, whether you stand in a pulpit or whether you are, you know, a member of a church. Even if you don't have a position of, quote, leadership, you influence and are a leader, a spiritual leader for the people that are unsaved around you. And so let us rise to that high calling. Let us respond with the heart of Nehemiah and others that are portrayed in the Word of God, that they were willing to do what is ever required to be faithful to God. Praise God. And so, beloved, as I bring this broadcast to a close, I invite you to share your needs. There may be concerns you have, perhaps in your church or in leadership or in your own life, where you see you've fallen short. The announcer will give our contact information. I invite you to write, and I will respond back to you personally, whatever God gives. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.